by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. 1973, Dr. Charles Keene, who spoke first on the video, he said First Baptist Church was going to print the Bible if they had to do it longhand. If you come to our shop and in my office, there's a set of 9 books. Looks like encyclopedias till you pull them down, and First Baptist Church did one Bible that they wrote out longhand. And it's there as a memorial of how this all started. And it's exciting to me. We can now print in 72 languages. We've got 2 new ones coming on in the next month. We partner with Trinitarian Bible Society to make sure what we're printing is from the right source text. And so there's a lot that goes into it. I've been here 18 years, and God's allowing us now to average over 11 million scripture per year. And if you count to a million on anything, it's a whole bunch. But what happened is, as we increase, we have to have more paper. We went through 50 semi-loads of paper last year. Paper costs between $25,000 and about $40,000, depending on the grade of paper that we're using. The whole Bibles, of course, are more expensive because of the quality of that paper. The John and Romans and New Testaments, we do run on thicker paper. Well, when COVID happened, it was hard to get a lot of things, wasn't it? Well, we were having a little bit of trouble getting paper at a good price, but the salesman called me and he says, hey, I've got some Bible paper. At that time, it was costing $1.10 a pound. There's 40,000 pounds on a truck, so you can do the math. He said, I've got some Bible paper I'll sell you for 40 cents a pound. I said, I'll take it. He says, no, I need to send you a sample. I said, okay, but I still want to take it, so don't sell it to somebody else. He said, well, he said, the problem is, he says, it's canary yellow. I said, I'll still take it because a person that's never had a Bible don't know what color the pages are supposed to be. And so he said, okay, and he sent it. Well, the guys, after it came in, papers wrapped, like you saw it up there, in like a cardboard paper, they ripped one side of it off so they could see the color. And I don't see anybody wearing anything canary yellow in here tonight. But the guys started laughing how bright it was, and Pastor Dutry at the time, he walked through and says, what are you going to do with that? I said, oh, we're going to print Bibles on it. He says, well, okay. I talked to a few missionaries, and they said, well, if that's the only color we can get. It sat there for about 2 months, and a war broke out between Russia and Ukraine. And, you know, their colors are yellow and blue. And God placed that paper there, I believe, for us to be able to do 60,000 New Testaments in canary yellow paper. And it springboarded into more than that. We ended up sending 3 containers of scripture over to the Ukraine, working with missionaries over there. It's just been a blessing how God supplies ahead of time, doesn't he? Yeah. Many times we don't know what we need, but he gets it there for us. Somebody asked me a few years ago, when are you going to get a new press? Did you ever say anything that's kind of silly? I don't know if you have, but I did. I said, well, the next guy can do that. It was almost immediately I was getting whipped, because the next guy's not going to do it. God's going to do it. A preacher out in Maryland, he called me and said, hey, there's a press I think you could probably get. It's in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I said, really? I said, where is it? He says, you ever heard of the Sword of the Lord? I said, yeah. I said, I've heard of them. He said, well, you ought to go talk to them. So I went down and spent a day driving down talking with them, and I left there. They said, we're not going to sell our press. I said, okay, but if you get ready to do that, give us a call. Well, you know, during COVID, he gave me a call. And he says, we're going to sell our press. Are you interested? Preacher, you ever been interested in something, not had any money? Yeah, I have too. You know, I get real interested driving down the road, seeing a really nice pickup truck, and but I'm going to keep driving my 07 pickup truck. But as you see nice ones and you say, oh, man, I'd like to have that. But we needed that press, and I know God was going to give it to us. And I said, yes, I'm very interested. He said, I'll get back to you with a price. Now, they paid $1.9 million for this press in 07. They had not ran it enough for it to even be considered that used. So we were praying and hoping that we could get that press. And a group had came through a foundation and took a tour back in February. This was October, and a check showed up from that foundation for $100,000. I got excited about that. $100,000 is a lot of money. But they paid $1.9 million. I'll get to the end here really quick, but what happened is he called me back and said, we want $200,000 for the press. I said, well, don't sell it yet. Give me just a little time here. Delay tactics, what that was. So we had the $100,000, and a man came through the shop, and he said, would you give me a tour? Which we do that all the time. I said, sure. And we're walking him through, telling him what God's done, because every piece of equipment you saw up there, God has provided it. He's provided the money for it, and usually before we need it. So we're walking through, and he looks at our older press, our Heidelberg, that has four heads on it. The new one has six, and it'll print a lot faster and a lot more. But the old press was running. He looked inside. One of the doors was open. He said, Al, what is that toothpick doing in that machine? I said, well, it's holding the solenoid open, so it'll run. He said, well, how much is the part? I said, it's $3,000, but you can buy so many toothpicks for $3,000. I'd never met the man. He asked me to go to dinner with him that night, and I did. And he says, okay. He says, you're wanting to buy another press. He said, what do you think you're going to buy it for? I said, well, they've called back and they want $200,000 for it, which is a good deal, but I can't use the paper they were going to give us, and I don't want their forklift, so I think they'll take $150,000. We're sitting here at dinner, and he says, okay, I'll give you the $50,000. I was really enjoying dinner. Then he asked me a question. He says, now, how much is it going to cost to move that press? You got to realize it'll go from here to that back wall, and it takes a 90 and goes over to about where the sound booth is. It'll run six rolls of paper at a time. He said, how much is it going to cost to move it? And I said, well, we've checked on that. It's $138,000 to move it from Murfreesboro to Milford and set it up. He says, okay, I've got some investments coming back. I'll go ahead and take care of that too. I was ready for dessert. What happened is he said, but there's one stipulation. You know, there's all kinds of things going through my head. I'm thinking, yeah, I'll put your name on it. I don't know. He said, I'm adding $3,000 to it. Get that toothpick out of that machine. Yes, sir. So it took from February until May for them to bring it all in, set it all up, and have it running. And they were there 5 days a week working on it. Well, God did all that. It took nine semis to bring it up there. So glory to God for what he does. We're averaging over 12 million scripture a year. I mentioned that earlier. 72 languages so far and two more coming online. And those are for India. So thank you so much, church. I know that you've got missionaries that have received the message and passed it out. You send out the messenger, but they need to have the message with them to give to those folks. And I know your missionary here, Brother Norberg, he's been involved, and what a blessing it is to see how God does all those things. Thank you so much for allowing us to come and share. Any questions? Yes, sir. One roll of paper is going to cost $800. We use an average between this cheaper paper and the more expensive paper, but $800. And we'll go through 50 semi loads, and there's 32 rolls on a semi. That's what we went through last year. We're hoping to have to increase that. But God keeps bringing in the money, and that's how much the paper is. Any other questions? Yes, sir. We're printing 72. They're not all whole Bibles. Some of them are just John and Romans because that's all they've translated so far. Our church started a translation school about six years ago and training people to be translators. And we've sent a few people out. They're over in areas close to India working on some languages over there. You know, half the languages in the world have nothing from the Bible in their language. So we're trying and working with other folks, trying to get that done, more of that done. Yes, sir. We've got a list, and it's a long list, but what we try to do is if some of the folks are strategically located and they want to work on that language, they work with those nationals and those speakers. And it's a slow process. It's a slow process. Brother Turner, years ago, we did the Cena language. It took him 25 years to do the New Testament. That was before computers and a lot of other things, but it was a slow process. And the computers can speed things up, but the computers can also mess them up. If you don't have the right things clicked, the right buttons clicked, it starts changing words, and we don't want that to happen. So try to be very meticulous with it. Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other questions? Well, we'll be back at the table after church if you have more questions. There's some samples of Bibles back there. Some of them you can probably read, and some of them you can't. What do you do when you get a Bible that they read backwards and you can't read it? How do you keep it in order? Well, the guys had it, and they're like, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're going to number it from the back to the front, one through whatever page it is. Then we're going to cut the bottom of it off so we know we keep it in order. It seemed very simple, but that's what we did, all right? Thank the Lord for what he does, and it's all him. We just get to be there and be part of it. And again, we want to get the message to the messengers. Thanks, Pastor.
I was reminded, Luke 1:37, very simple, very profound. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And we worry about things and we fret about things. And I've been reminded many times that something like money is not hard for God to provide. And yet we look at it as though it is. But he just wants us to trust him and follow him. I'm going to use the name of that printing ministry as a theme for us tonight. If you'd turn to Psalm 126, and it's a familiar verse. It's a precious verse. But I got to thinking about the truth that it talks about and what the Bible says elsewhere about this topic. It fits well with the fact that we just finished our missions conference last week. And I was telling Brother Braley before the service, it's great timing, at least to me, it's great timing that he's here, that they're here. The shipment is arriving tomorrow, and we had outreach yesterday, and it's all very, very consistent that way. And we ought to be focused on sowing the seed. Psalm 126, verse 6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The word precious means of great price, value, or worth. Very valuable, highly valued, much esteemed. Something can be valuable but not esteemed. But the Word of God is valuable, and I think that we do esteem it. We know that it's valuable, and we need to bear it. And this is what's available to us. We can bear this seed of the Word of God, the gospel. This is what we must bear. We must bear this precious seed. We must broadcast it and scatter it and spread it. That's what you do with seed. We need to be busy as individuals, not only with the printed copies that we just heard about, but with our words, spreading and scattering that seed. But of course, it doesn't happen all by itself. It doesn't happen automatically. We must do it properly. We must do it purposefully, we must do it prayerfully. And in Scripture, we find many times that the Lord Jesus Christ used farming as an illustration of evangelism. We're going to look at some of those examples tonight, and it still has much relevance to the Great Commission. And so tonight we're going to consider precious seed that the Bible talks about. and how we can be involved in it. Let's pray, and then we'll see what the Word of God says. Lord, help us to be engaged and busy, occupied, not just once in a while, but our whole lives long, busy in scattering this precious seed. Thank you for giving it to our care, for us to read and enjoy and share. Help us to be busy with that. I pray that you would use our efforts for your glory to change lives and rescue souls. Help us and speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Genesis 1, and we're going to see the very first instance of the word seed. And you know what a seed is. This isn't going to surprise you. But I thought that it was helpful and a blessing to note that the simple meaning is the meaning. And the Word of God tells us and uses farming, uses seeds as an illustration of spiritual things. But it's good to be reminded of what a seed is and what its purpose is. Genesis 1, verse 11. This is the first instance, first appearance of the word seed, the 11th verse of the Bible. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." So you have the herbs yielding seed, and then of course the fruits have the seed in them. And of course we know that a seed really is a miniature of the plant that produced it. You take a seed from the plant and you plant that seed, and it grows up and creates a new plant and creates more seeds. Like produces like. And that is a physical truth. It's also a spiritual truth. Precious seed. God is producing, reproducing himself in a sense, and we are to reproduce ourselves in a very real sense via the Great Commission. And I want us to look at three things on how we are to spread this precious seed. First of all, let's look at a parable that the Lord gave in Matthew 13. Turn to Matthew 13, and we see a parable that incorporates the idea of a seed. And the Lord teaches something very important through that illustration. Matthew 13, verse 24. How are we to spread this seed? What needs to happen for us to be in the place where we need to be used by God to bear precious seed and see a crop, see fruit? Well, you must be in Christ. That's the first step. Matthew 13, verse 24, it says, "And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. The good seed, as we've seen, is sown by the owner and the master. The bad or evil seed is sown by the enemy. And the good seed brings forth fruit. And that is the evidence, that is the difference between the good seed and the evil seed. The evil seed does not bring forth the kind of fruit that is intended and expected. Instead, the Bible tells us in Matthew 17 that a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And this is always the case. It's the law of creation that God put into his creation. Like produces like. And God intends us to produce good fruit, but that must be after we are in Christ. If you want God to produce fruit in your life, you need to be in Christ. You need to be saved. Matthew 13, 36. Look at that verse, just a few verses down. It says, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And again, the Lord uses seed to illustrate different ideas in the spiritual realm. Bearing precious seed, that ministry is built around the truth. And we'll look at it in a moment, that the word of God is the seed. And it is the seed. But here in this parable, we see the Lord is teaching some other truths. And he says the good seed, the field is the world in verse 38. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and you and I are to reproduce ourselves. Just like seed reproduces itself and bears fruit and grows up and there's a result, there's a crop, you and I are to reproduce ourselves. But we can only do that when we're in Christ. In the Great Commission, we find the Lord commanding his church to go and preach the gospel and make disciples and baptize and teach them to go on and do the same thing. We're called to reproduce ourselves. And that's what a seed does. But we must be in Christ. Lost people can disseminate the truth. A lost person can pass out a tract. A lost person can pass out the scriptures. And I'm thankful for that. A lost person can invite another one to church. And they can come and hear the truth. And that's a good thing. But if you're going to bear fruit spiritually, you must be in Christ. You must be saved. You must be his precious seed. We see not only that the saved are the children of the kingdom, but the tares, the evil seed that the enemy sows, they are children of the wicked one. Verse 38 goes on to say that the tares are the children of the wicked one. They're the result of what the devil is doing. And there Jesus says in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. And we're called to reproduce ourselves through the Lord's work to rescue souls from that judgment that's coming for the lost. I'm thankful that the Lord transforms us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I enjoy hearing about a ministry like bearing precious seed. It's a good thing for us to meet together and pass out tracts and give the scriptures out. It's a good thing to come as we're going to have future days to come and put together those John Romans booklets and to give them out. It's good to be involved in that. But you need to be in Christ. You need to be saved. You need to come to the Lord yourself. How to spread this seed? Well, it starts by being that seed. To follow the idea of this parable, you must be in Christ. If you're not saved tonight, that's the number one priority. And we as saved people must be involved in bringing people, sinners, lost sinners, to the Savior. Let's look at another parable, Luke chapter 8. If you're going to spread the seed, if you're going to bear this precious seed, you must be in Christ. Secondly, you must be in the Word. If we're going to bear this seed and sow it and scatter it and see it bring forth fruit by God's power, we must be in the Word. We must be busy and we must be saturating our minds with the Word of God. Luke 8, verse 4, it says, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it, and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word of out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. I think it's neat that God created this world and the laws that govern it often. And you, I think they always illustrate spiritual truth. I think sometimes we don't see how they do, but it's consistent that God created the physical world to illustrate spiritual truth. And already we've seen how a seed illustrates multiple levels of spiritual truth, spiritual life. We are the seed. But this is the seed, and a seed is a good representation of the Word of God as well as the children of God. This seed that we ought to be scattering is the Word of God is pictured by this seed. Are you hiding it in your heart? Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We constantly need the influence of the Word of God in our lives. It's going to produce godliness. It's going to produce the characteristics of the Lord. It's a miniature of Him in a sense. It reproduces. Like produces like. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This is the effect that it has. How are we going to be busy distributing the Word of God if we do not keep the Word of God? If we do not follow it, if we do not hide it in our heart. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. We know that Joshua, as he was selected as the next leader of Israel, taking over from Moses, he had a big task in front of him. How is he going to perform this? How is he going to do the job? Well, the Lord is the reason, and it was God's power. But God gives him a focus. He says, this is what you need to be focused on. And it's the same focus that we must have. Joshua 1, verse 7. The Lord says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." What if others spent as much time in the Word of God as you do? We're called to be spreading the Word, spreading the seed. What if others spent as much time in the Word of God as you do? Would there be many good ground hearers? Would there be many people that hear it all? We need to spend time in the Word of God. I'm reminded of Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The Word of God, we need to be in it. We need to let it saturate and seep into our heart. And the more that it fills us, the more it will overflow out of us and affect others. If we're going to be like the sower, scattering and broadcasting the Word of God, it's not going to be just because we carry a Bible with us and we know how to open up and read its pages. It's not going to be just because we have tracts in our hand and we know how to hand them to somebody. It's going to be, if we're going to be effective, if we're going to see God bear fruit in our lives and use us to reach others, it's going to be because we are in the Word of God. We are meditating on it. We are letting it affect and change our hearts. The Word of God reproduces its godly effects.
how to spread the seed properly. How should we bear this precious seed and scatter it the way God wants us to? We must be in the Word. We must be in the Word. And thirdly, we must be in the Spirit. We must go in the power of the Spirit of God. Turn to John chapter 15. We're not going to see a reference to seed in this passage, but we do see a reference to power and to guidance, to help, that we need the help of the Lord. It's not enough just to hand out a printed page, although that's better than doing nothing. And it's been talked about, if you have trouble talking to people and witnessing to people, get started just handing a tract. That's pretty easy to do, and that's good to do. I'm not diminishing that at all, but there's more to it than that. We need to go beyond that. We shouldn't be comfortable with just that. And I know that many of you haven't stopped there. You came out yesterday, and you went out and talked to people. I heard today about somebody who had never done that before, and they were doing that yesterday. And I was glad to hear that. That was a blessing to me. I know that we're doing this, but we always need to be going farther with the Lord and following Him more and more. We need to be in the Spirit, under control of the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16 tells us, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." When the flesh is controlling us, destruction and sin is the result. When the Spirit is controlling us, fruit is the result. God's work is the result. And we see this in John 15. Verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." You can't abide in Christ without being saved. You can't abide in the Lord without having the Word of God to guide you. But just because you are saved and you have the Word of God doesn't mean you are abiding in Him. We must be in the Spirit and controlled, filled by the Spirit of God every single day. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you," there's the Word of God there, "ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." If we desire to bear fruit for the Lord, we must know there's only one source of that fruit, and it is the Lord. There's only one place that it comes from. We've heard a lot about these principles in the recent days of our missions conference. We must sow the seed everywhere. And we see that in the parable of the sower. We heard that during our conference. We must sow it diligently. The Word of God, the seed, we must sow it diligently. We must sow it in obedience to Christ. We must identify the good ground to the best of our knowledge. We're looking for seekers, those who are open to the gospel, those who will accept the truth and want more. And we need the Spirit of God for all of this because it's His work. Our intelligence, our good manners, our speaking ability is not going to bring forth fruit. It must be the Lord. We have this precious seed, the Word of God. We must be busy in giving it out. But the increase comes from God. Brother Braley brought that out many times, talking about taking someone through a tour of the shop and saying, "The Lord did that for us, and the Lord gave that to us, and the Lord provided this." Men do the physical work. We don't sit back and just ask God to snap His fingers and do all the work. We are to be laborers, but it's His work. It's His for His glory, and we ought to be involved in that same way. We hand out the tract, maybe. We do the survey. We pray, but it's God that gives the increase, and the Spirit of God needs to lead in all of that. He needs to be guiding us. 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It is His fruit. We need to be the seed. We need to be in Christ. We need to be in the Word of God, and we need to be led by the Spirit. Psalm 127 doesn't talk about seed, but it does talk about this principle. Verse 1, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." In the BPS print shop, they work hard, but it's God that makes it successful. We ought to work hard in our daily life to please the Lord and to follow Him, to bear fruit for Him, but it's God that gives the increase. It's God that makes us successful. If we will sow in Christ and with Christ, we will see a harvest. And that's exciting to me. That's encouraging to me. I pray for our church corporately. I pray for church members individually. And I want to see God grow us individually, spiritually. I want to see us grow closer to Him and walk with Him more and more. That is success. But there's another kind of success that I desire to see. And that is for lost people to be saved. They don't have to join here. God can bring them anywhere. But I want to see God use us to bring lost people to Him and see lost people saved. That's what the Great Commission is all about. You can't make disciples if nobody is saved. If no lost becomes saved, there's no one to turn into a disciple. I want to see God use us this way. But we have to be in Christ first. We have to be laboring for Him. We have to be in the Word, and we must be in the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. It's very important. Again, Psalm 126, verse 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We need to be careful not to define what the fruit is. Let God define that. But if we will do these things and trust Him, He will give the increase. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, another law of the physical world and a law of the spiritual world, because it's the same creator overall. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Be not deceived. God is not mocked. The lost world, they may not think about this. I am sure there are some that do. Oh yeah, you think there's a God? You say He's good and this and that? Let me prove it to you that you're wrong. I'm sure there are people out there with that attitude. But I think a lot of people, they don't have that attitude, but they live as though their sin and the results of their sin, they aren't going to come. God will be mocked in their mind, according to how they live. But God is not mocked. Paul says, "Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And that's very encouraging for those who want to do right, for those who want to see God work, for those who say, "Lord, just show me what I ought to do, and I want to see You bring forth increase, bring forth fruit. Here I am, use me." Be encouraged. God is not mocked. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Around here, I don't think there are any farmers harvesting right now, because it's not that season. It's not due season for reaping. It's the season of planting, because it's springtime. But in a few months, in due season, there will be reaping. And we need to be busy sowing the seed in Christ, the Word of God, with the Lord, sowing the seed, watering the seed. You know, I realized yesterday, I was telling my wife this, the things that Brother Hammett taught during the missions conference were all familiar to me. I've heard him teach those things, and I've considered them, and I've seen the Lord help me by observing those things. But I realized yesterday, as I went out and I knocked on doors and talked to people, I realized, I was surprised to see this, I didn't learn those things as well as I thought I had learned them. Because I found yesterday, as I was talking with people, I was struggling against habits of thinking and habits of attitudes that I had in my own heart as I'm talking to people. And I realized that I was helped and I was reminded of things Brother Hammett said just a few days ago. And in my case, it was, I realized I was still trying to persuade people myself. They're not a seeker. They're not open. Let me see if I can change their mind. And that's a natural, if you care for souls and you know this is the truth, that's a very natural thing to do. But we can't persuade people to accept the Lord and be saved. We can't just, let me just change your mind. Let me put pressure on you so that you'll do it. That is God's work. It's a heart level work. And it's very frustrating when you have that mindset, because I'm talking to people and I'm trying to give them the truth and they just won't. Well, maybe I'll try this. Oh, they still rejected it. Okay, fine. And I walk away frustrated, and they're probably frustrated with me because I put pressure on them. And instead, here's the truth. What do you think of it? Oh, you want more? Let me give more. Oh, you don't want? Okay, that's fine. And Brother Hammett talked about this. That's okay. I still had to, got a chance to have a little peace. I still got to plant a seed. I still was able to water the seed. And I was able to have a part in their process. I hope those people will eventually be saved. And we know that it's a process. It's a series of steps. And God uses different people to have an influence at different steps along the way. And so it takes a lot of pressure off of us. Because most of the people I talked to yesterday were not looking to be saved. They were not willing to be saved. But I still was able to help them, and the Lord can use that. And so I can walk away joyful that I was able to have just a little peace in that journey that I hope will end for them in salvation. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. God is working, and there will be a harvest if you stay faithful. God gives a wonderful promise in Isaiah 55, verse 11. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." If you're saved, you've seen that happen in your life. If you're in the Word every day, you see it happen in your life, and you ought to be communicating that to others. If you're walking in the Spirit, walking with the Lord, and He's using you, you see how God's Word does not return void. You give it, you speak it, it just kind of flows out of you, and God uses it in hearts. Finally, let's turn to Matthew 28. And read a very familiar, short portion of Scripture, Matthew 28. The precious seed that we have. God wants us to reproduce ourselves as Christians. It's His power, it's His work for His glory. But we are the seed. We ought to be reproducing ourselves. We need to be busy. Are you planted in that sense? Are you busy working and serving the Lord, giving the truth, giving the gospel? Are you reproducing yourself? We have the seed, and another picture of that, the Word of God is another form of that, another illustration of that seed. We ought to be planting the Word of God in hearts. And we ought to be walking in the Spirit. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." Plant that seed. Water that seed. And when God gives the increase, the next step, the verse goes on, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm thankful for printing ministries that print the Word of God. I'm thankful for churches like what we have here. But we need to be busy looking for God to reproduce ourselves by bringing lost folks in, not just into these into this room, into this auditorium, but us going out and sowing the seed of the Word of God, having an influence, seeing God give the increase, reproducing ourselves, discipling them ourselves, that's the next step. And that's what I'd like to see our church grow in as well. As God brings people in and God saves them, we have new converts and people being baptized, they're going to need someone to disciple them. And who's going to do that? Well, the commission's given to all the saints, to the Lord's church, not just the pastor, not just the really, you know, really spiritual ones in the church, those two or three people, whoever, to do the discipling. All of God's people ought to be willing and growing to be able to do that. This is all part of reproducing ourselves because we have this precious seed, God's word, and we ought to be busy sowing it. I'm thankful for all the opportunities we have to serve the Lord, to have the Word of God, to become more like Christ. May God help us to be faithful in sowing this precious seed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the grace.